Okay. Morning. Today's daf and Mitzvahs. Pay Dala. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lona Zichron Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. We are starting today on the very bottom of Pei Gimel Amud Beis and the Afra Bishma Rabbi Yosi. Okay. We told over a story yesterday regarding Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. It's important to go over the story just for the purpose of today's daf. In general, it's important to know it, but it's important for today's daf because you'll see the second half of today's daf is really a continuation of the story of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. So just as a quick recap, right in the middle of Pei Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara starts off by telling us that regarding Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, so he found a district attorney, a person that was in charge of rounding up all the bad guys, the Ganavim, and putting him in the jail, and he only asked a simple question: well, how do I know that they were bad guys? How do you know that they were bad guys? And so the district attorney said, I don't know. In other words, but I was told by the king I got to round people up. So that's what I do. I round people up, and hopefully they're bad. What do I know? So Rebel.
Talking about Julian.
Yes. So Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon gave them advice, and the king learns that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon knows how to smoke him out. And so the king says to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, "Okay, you're now going to be the new district attorney," and he becomes now. The district attorney for the king, for the non-Jewish king, and presumably we're dealing with the Romans over here in terms of who the current government was. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon was a student of Rabbi Shimon. Sorry, was the son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Right. It's important just in general to know about the Masara. Later on, we're going to mention Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai will come at the very end of today's daf. But he was a son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, a student of Rabbi Akiva. So you are talking now in the we are in the heart of the Roman Empire.
It was a post Bar Kokhba.
Correct. So the. Pre Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, which again will come up tomorrow, will come up later this morning as well. So Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon is rounding them up, and included in some of these ganavim are also Jewish people as well. And the response that he got from the Chachamim is, "You can't do that. You're not allowed to be a moser. You're not allowed to give up Jewish people's money to the non-Jewish government. You are certainly not allowed to give up Jews to the non-Jewish government. You're a moser. How could you do that?" So that was, and it put him in a difficult position, put him in a difficult spot. There was a koveis, there was a launder who came over to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon and calls him a Rasha ben Tzadik, meaning his father was Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai. He was Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. He calls him a Rasha ben Tzadik, and he was so upset with the koveis, he was so upset with the launder that he rounded him up as well. And it turns out that the launder was put to death by the Romans. In terms of did he deserve it or not, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon wasn't sure, but then he had a report that he was Boel Nara Marasa B'Yom HaKippurim together with the son of the launder. And so he felt a little bit assuaged, but he still had anxiety. We ended off the story yesterday with a very severe way of him trying to prove that he was beyond scrutiny. He had a little bit of surgery done, basically testing some of his body in order to see whether or not it was going to deteriorate and be subject to Rima Vatolea. Worms and maggots after the death, and the test proved that he wasn't going to be subject to any type of brutal decomposition after he dies. And we are going to put a bookmark now in the story, literally a bookmark, meaning the Gemara is going to pause, tell a couple of other stories, and later this morning we're going to come back to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. So it's a good way to start off this morning just by reviewing a little bit of yesterday's daf, and also putting a bookmark in there as we're going to be returning. And in fact, the Amud Beis, if you want to just take a quick sneak to Pei Dal Amud Beis, the very top, the Afilo Hachi, that literally is just a continuation of the story of Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. So if you will, this is all by way of tangent from the main Agadata, if you will, of where we ended yesterday and where we're going to continue later today. We're on the very top of Pei Dalam and Aleph. I'm sorry, let me just read the last words of Pei Gimel and Beis. Vav Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yossi Mati Ki Amaisi Adai. And Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yossi also ended up becoming a bit of a district attorney. I know, I was... I, I, I saw myself leading to that word. Okay, I'm not going to use that word. But the but to end up becoming a district attorney, the king appointed him to round up the Ganavim and enlist him. And Kihai Maisali Ade Pagabe Eliyahu. So now he's confronted with Eliyahu Hanavi. And he's going to get the same Musar and the same Tochacha that Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon got in yesterday's daf. So Amar Le'ad Masayata Moser Amo Shalakenu Lahariga. And Eliyahu Hanavi says, that's enough. You're being a Moser, you're giving over Jewish people to be killed by the Romans, and that you cannot do that. Amar Le'ad Mayavid Amar Le'ad Malkahu. So again, so his defense to Eliyahu Hanavi, much like we saw, the same defense yesterday by Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, is what he wanted. What he wanted me to do. The king appointed me to do so. So Amar Le'ad Avucha Arak La'Asya Ataruk Lelutkia. Your father ran away to the town of Asya, meaning when your father was confronted with the same challenge, so he ran away, so you run away. And I'll even tell you where to run. And the Gemara now notes that when Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, who were basically holding the same district attorney position, rounding up bad guys for the Roman king, so when they physically confronted one another, not confronted, but just in other words, they faced one another. Hava ayal bekra deture binayu. So they were so portly, they were so large that you can have a pair of oxen go between them. Velo hava nagabahu, and there'd be clearance. And you know, when the truck goes under the bridge, and it's, you know, the bridge says, you know, right, you know, you have to be this. You can't be taller than this. So there was clearance for the oxen to pass through. So again, to what degree we're supposed to take this literally, certainly the point is that they were extraordinarily large. Amalu Aimachinusa, so a certain matron, Rashi says she was not Jewish. Right, she was a non-Jewish noblewoman, and she was poking fun of them and their large size. And she says, "Bnechem einam shalachem, your children do not belong to you," meaning that you're simply too large to have tashmish with your wives, and there's no way that that your children can belong to you. So it must be that your wives have some sort of adulterous relationship. So this is how she is talking to them. So amru la, they say to her, "Shalahen gadol mishalan shalanu." What do you mean, our wives are larger than us? Now they probably said that by way of mocking her, meaning I don't assume that it's a serious answer that they gave her, but you know, when someone speaks silly to you, so sometimes the response is just a silly response. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so then for sure the children that you have are not, don't belong to you, because there's no way. Now some have the second, another version that this is what they said to her. Rashi says that Rashi gives two pshatim. One, it's a reference to their own Aver Atashmish. Number two, says Rashi, Shalahen gadol taivel she'isha meruba mishal ish. In other words, basically they said, yes, it's possible that we had relations. Again, the why is it that they even responded to her accusation? Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to ask that very question. Ikedaim, the Gemara brings down a third version. Hachi Amrula, Ahava Docheches Es Abasar. In other words, there's real love between us and our wives, and that's the Basar doesn't get in the way of the love. Valamalu La Durila, and the Gemara is bothered over here. Now look at the conversation that they're engaged in with this woman. Why are they even responding? Vaksiv Altan Ksil Ki Ivalto. So the Gemara says that we have a general rule, Pasuk and Mishlei gives us good advice, and that is, don't answer a fool. A fool makes an accusation, so how do you have to answer? The Pasuk and Mishlei says you don't have to answer. You just simply ignore it. There's no point. So the Shalola Silas Abanim. But the Gemara says, okay, over here, there is a consideration in terms of why they answered, because the woman said something regarding the children in order to defend the integrity and the pedigree of their children, so therefore, they felt that a response was necessary. Amar Rav Yochanan Evarad Rabbi Shmuel Rav Yossi Ke Chemas Bas Tisha Kabin. So the Gemara over here, Rav Yochanan now notes that the size of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, and we just pointed out Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, extraordinarily large Tanayim. So Rav Yochanan, who lived a little bit later, so he said that the limb of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was the size of Bat Tisha Kabin. Okay, so again, just very, very large, hard to visualize. Amar Papa Yevarad Rabbi Yochanan Kechemas Bas Chamisha Kabin. Papa notes that, you know, Rabbi Yochanan himself was not small. Rabbi Yochanan also was a large man, and he also had limbs that were the size of Chamisha's Kabin. V'amila Bashlosha Kabin. Another version has it that it was three Kabin. Rabbi Papa Gufe Kidekura Da Parna. And by the way, Rabbi Papa himself, also not a small man, a large man. He was there were baskets made in Harpanya, and his arms were the size of those baskets as well. Amar Rav Yochanan, Ana Ishtarui Mishipur Yerushalayim. Rav Yochanan says, I am a remnant of the beauty of Yerushalayim. Rav Yochanan lived after Churban Beis HaMikdash. Rav Yochanan notes that he is a remnant. In other words, he was a beautiful man. We're going to talk about his beauty over the course of the Amud Aleph today. And he says that this is all but a remnant of Yerushalayim. So if you want to get some sort of idea of how beautiful Rav Yochanan was, so here's what you do. So bring a silver cup that was just freshly made. So in other words, it's glistening. It's not, there's no rust. It is a clear silver. Unamalie partida de rumana sumka, and put in the seeds of red pomegranates. Venadar klila de verda sumka lapume, and then put red rose petals around the lip of the cup. Venusve ben shimshalatula, and put it where the sun is shining, but there's a little bit of shade, so you have the just amount, right amount of light. Hahu zuhure mehin shipur de Rav Yochanan, and when you see that kind of glow, so you have a sense, you have some idea of the beauty of Rav Yochanan. Ini the Gemara says vaha mamar shufre de Rav Kahana. So the Gemara says, we have a Masorah, that the beauty of Rav Kahana is a remnant of the beauty of Rav Avua. And Shufar de Rabbi Abu means Shufar de Yaakov Avinu. And the beauty of Rabbi Abahu is a remnant, it's a throwback to the beauty of Yaakov Avinu. And Shufar de Yaakov Avinu means Shufar de Adam Rishon. And the beauty of Yaakov Avinu is a throwback to Adam Rishon. So, in our Masorah of beauty, so Rav Yochanan is left out. And we made a big jump, by the way. We went from Adam to Yaakov, and we went from Yaakov Avinu to Rabbi Abahu. But still, in other words, but if we're saying that Rav Yochanan is a prototype of beauty, so he should be included in this list. So Shani Rav Yochanan da Hadrasparn Lahavilei. So the Gemara says that Rav Yochanan didn't have a beard, and so therefore didn't make it into the list. These others all had beards. Rav Yochanan Ava Azav Yasef Ashari Tvila. Rav Yochanan himself would go to the gates of the Beis HaTvila, Amar Kisalka Menos Yisrael Mitzvah Mitzvah Lifka Ubi. So the women, when they come out of the mikvah, so they should see Miki Hechad Alav Luhu Benishu Pare Kavasi. So they have beautiful children like me. And Gemira Araisa Kavasi, and also they should become Tamid Chachamim like me. In other words, again, though this is not for any of us to emulate, not for any of us to repeat, but certainly the idea, the kernel of the idea that, in other words, you are influenced by that which you see. So if you see somebody who's a Ben Torah, you're going to be influenced, and you're going to want to be a Ben Torah. And if you see beauty, so you're going to be influenced by the beauty. So in other words, he understands that, and he uses it in order to facilitate there be beautiful children. And children who are B'nai Torah. Amalei Rabbanan, Lamastifa Mar Me'ina Bisha. So they say to Rav Yochanan, aren't you worried about Ayin Hara? You are flaunting your beauty, and that can lead to a potential Ayin Hara. So Amalu Anam Yisrael to Yosef Kasi, and he says, no, I'm not worried about Ayin Hara. I'm a product of Yosef. Delo Shalta Be'ein Abisha, and Yosef Atzadik is not subject to Ayin Hara. Dichsiv. Right? We're in the right parsha for this.
He really was. He was the
progeny of. That's what he says. I understand your question, but he says he is.
It's actually interesting. The list that I mentioned, Yosef is one of the ones with beauty.
Right.
And that's
right.
Exactly what.
Right. Yaakov to Rabbi Abahu. Okay, you're right. Another excellent point. So the lo shalta be'ena bisha tichviv ben paras Yosef ben paras ale ayin. So ve'amar Rabbi Abahu al tikra ale ayin ela ole ayin. He goes above Ayin Hara. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chinen, and Amar Me'acha. Another pasuk speaking to this idea that Yosef is above the Ayin Hara. V'idgul Rav Bekarav Aretz. So the bracha that Yaakov gave to his grandsons is v'yidgu l'rov. Now, simple pshat in the pesukim is that you're going to populate. You're going to populate like fish. So, ma'adagim shabiyam mayim mechasim osam ve'ina ayin shaletus behem. When it comes to the fish in the sea, the water covers them, and the eye doesn't see them. Avzar shal Yosef ein ayin shaletus behem. Same thing is true regarding Yosef, that the ayin hara doesn't affect him. And Rav Yochanan, who says that he is from the progeny of Yosef HaTzadik, so therefore he's also not subject to ayin hara. He does not worry. Yumachan of a kasach Rav Yochanan biyardena. One time Rav Yochanan was taking a dip in the Yarden. Chazi Reish Lakish vishavar liyardena abasre. Reish Lakish sees him and he jumps into the Yarden after him in order to steal from him. Unbeknownst to us, or probably better known to us, is that Reish Lakish in his former life was a ganav. He was a thief. Amar lei chelach la'araisa. So Rav Yochanan looks at Reish Lakish and says, I see potential. If we took your strength and your power and you applied it to Torah, it'd be amazing. So Amar lei shufar l'nashe. And Reish Lakish says to Rav Yochanan, you know, you're beautiful. It's a shame your beauty is wasted on man. Meaning if your beauty was applied to women, so that'd be wonderful. So Amar lei I hadrat bach yavina lach achosi deshapir mine. So Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, if you do tshuva, so I'm going to give you my sister for marriage. Kaba alei. And Reish Lakish accepts the offer, and every single time we make reference to Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, it's based on this Gemara over here. This is the Gemara that speaks of the relationship of Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Let's go back over the line one more time that we just read, and let's focus on words that Tosafot focus on. I hadras bach. If you were chozer, if you did tshuva, what does that seem to indicate? Look at the fourth Tosus on the Amud. And Tosus writes, Yadrach Bach, Mikana Marabe Natam, De Reish Lakish Mitchila Yada Harbe. Reish Lakish didn't come from nothing in terms of knowing Torah. He had background. He had some sort of, he knew Torah. And what he did was, he left Torah. But in other words, it's not that he came from nothing, he came from Torah. That's the pshat in the Pesukim. That's the pshat in the Gemara, when the Gemara says, Yehadras Bey, I need you to be chozer b'tshuva, which means that you were once a ben Torah, you left, I need you to come back. Yeah, right. That's Mikan Omer Rabbeinu Tam Reish Lakish Mitzchil Yada Harbe Ela Shapara Kol Torah. So, but what he did is he just took the yoke of the Torah and he removed it. Venasa Amaretz VeAsik Belisios, and then he got involved in stealing. Midikamar, and Tosfos focused on the word of the Gemara. He ahadras bach mashma lios kibetchila velo tibrek ol Torah mealecha. Meaning, I want you to go back to where you once were. So this idea that Reish Lakish came from nothing and he knew nothing, so Rabbi Natan says that's not right. Rabbi Natan says that he was a ben Torah. He left being a ben Torah and then he came back. Now, it is true, and Tosus acknowledges that a little bit later on this morning we're going to see that he was referred to, when he was a thief, he was referred to as Rebbe, meaning he was the leader. He was the leader of the gang. The Kamer Nami Haya, honestly, Hasam Karali Rebbe, Klamer Mi Kamer Nami Have a Karali Rebbe, Elisha Shachachti. So Omash Pirish Bekuntras Rebbe Hainu Rabo Shalistim Einira. Now we're gonna see Rashi later on. Rashi later on says that he was a king. But again, Tosus says, I don't think that's correct. Afagav de Ashkechan. Okay, and then Tosus goes on to acknowledge that there may be something to that, but Tosus says no. So anyway, so Tosus paints a picture of Reish Lakish, Rebbe Natam does. Parenthetically, by the way, the grandson of Rashi, but he paints the picture of Reish Lakish, that Reish Lakish is not coming from nothing. And in other words, no, Reish Lakish, it's more interesting. Reish Lakish actually was a ben Torah, and then he left the world of being a ben Torah, and then Rav Yochanan basically encourages him, motivates him, incentivizes him to come back. Let's go back to the Gemara. Let's pick it up. We are in the wide lines of the Gemara. So Kabil Aleh, the very first long line of the Gemara. Kabil Aleh, so he accepted, meaning Reish Lakish accepted the proposal of taking Rav Yochanan's sister for marriage, and now he and Rav Yochanan are now brother-in-laws. Baila Ma'adal Asuye Mane. Now what he wanted to do is that he wanted to jump back. In other words, he jumped from the shore into the river, and he wanted to jump from the river back. And he couldn't do it. And why couldn't he do it? And Rashi says he couldn't do it because, I'm reading the Rashi, Likfot Kavrishona, once he accepted upon himself to become a Ben Torah once again, so he couldn't jump like he originally did, Dimishikabel Alav Old Torah, because once taking upon yourself the old Torah, the yoke of Torah, so you become physically weaker. Torah weakens the individual. So the so you see this play out in real time with Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish accepts upon himself to become a Ben Torah, and that's it. He does not have the strength that he had earlier.
So the whole conversation and the whole aspect of this happens in the water.
Yeah, I know. It's just a great visual. He taught him chumash. He taught him mishnayos, and he turned him into a gavarab. He turned him into a great man. So Rav Yochanan really helped rehabilitate Reish Lakish. So one day there was the following debate that took place in the Beis Medrash. So there were various instruments, swords, knives, and spears, and sickles, and various instruments. Umago katsir me'emas amikablan tum ah. At what point is it a finished product? Here's our basic rule when it comes to kalim. Once the kalim has been finished, so now it is subject to kabbalah's tumah. It now is susceptible to tumah. Before that point in time, it's not susceptible to tumah. When are these kalim a finished product? So So all we know from the Mishnah or this Braisa, parenthetically, by the way, Rashi, Tosus debate whether it's a Mishnah, whether it's a Braisa. Anyway, but all we know from the Braisa is that it says the words Gemar Malachtam. That's all we know. Now, what is Gemar Malachtam? So now we have a debate. Rav Yochanan Amar Mishit Sar from Bekivshan. So Rav Yochanan says from the time that it is heated in the oven. And Reish Lakish Amar Mishit Sach Tzachan B'mayim. When it is cooled down in the water, after taken out of the oven and cooled in the water, that's the Gemar Malacha. So Amar Leis, Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, basically you would know. In other words, because of your past and because of your history, so you would know. Amar Leis Lista'a B'listiyu Asa Yada. You know a thief, so he knows about thievery. And because you were involved in weapons and you used them as your arsenal in order to do your stealing, so you would know. Now, Amarle. So now Reish Lakish is going to respond to Rav Yochanan. Now, it's going to be very clear from the context of the response that Reish Lakish was offended. Meaning, despite the fact that they had a close relationship and it was, you know, obviously they were brother-in-laws and Rav Yochanan made Reish Lakish and he turned him to who he was, but still Reish Lakish was offended. And the words heard, and we just got done learning the Gemara. Right, the Gemara is in the fourth parak of Bab Metzia, of Onaz Devarim, of making somebody feel bad. And one of the examples that was given in the Mishnah at the end of the fourth parak was, don't remind about Tshuva of his past. And that's exactly what happened over here. Now, how can Rav Yochanan behave that way? So, okay, I mean, it happens. Meaning, Rav Yochanan, as we'll see in just a moment, he felt terrible. But he let it slip. And Reish Lakish was offended, and he says, and Reish Lakish says to Rav Yochanan, "Umaya, honestly, hasam Rabbi Karili, hacha Rabbi Karili." He says, "What good was all this? Yes. I became a Baal Tshuva. You know, previously I was referred to as Rabbi. Here's the part that Tosfos made mention earlier, and Rashi says over here, when I was a leader of the thief, they called me Rabbi. Rabbi, not formally Rabbi, but meaning I was a leader. And now, you know what I am." I'm the same thing. I'm a leader, but it doesn't matter. It didn't mean anything. Meaning there was no systemic change. You are still reminding me of my past. So Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, "What do you mean? What difference is it? Now you're Rebbe, but you're under Kanfei Hashchina. It's totally different. You don't see the difference." So Chalosh Shaita to Rav Yochanan. So, but Rav Yochanan felt terrible. Felt terrible, meaning he shouldn't have said it. He said it, and he knows he offended his brother-in-law, and he had chalishas das. Chalosh Reish Lakish, and now Reish Lakish himself gets sick as well. But here his sickness is physical. He's physically ill. Ase achte and kabachya. So now Rav Yochanan's sister / Reish Lakish's wife comes over to Rav Yochanan, and she cries, and she says, Amar Lei, Asa B'Shri B'ni. So please consider, meaning Reish Lakish is dying. He's so physically ill, he's dying. And she petitions her brother, can you do something? Can you daven on behalf of your brother-in-law? Think of the children, meaning you don't want the children to become orphans. So Amar Allah, so he says to her, Azva yisamech ani echyeh. I'll take care of the children. Now, again, to us, it sounds harsh. It sounds, you know, it sounds harsh. But at the same time, Rav Yochanan's looking at the reality. The reality is that, look, he's dying, and if necessary, I'll take care of the children. So she says, well, let's consider the widow, meaning me. So Amar La, so he says to her, so again, Rav Yochanan says, I'll take care of the widow, meaning I'll take care of you. Reish Lakish dies. And Rav Yochanan felt terrible. And Am Rabbanan Man Lezel Leisve Ladate. Let's see if anyone can help give Yishev Hadas to Rav Yochanan over the loss of his brother-in-law. Nezer Rav Elazar ben Pedas Demeh Chadidin Shmaitate. We're going to send in Rav Elazar ben Pedas. He's very sharp, and he can intelligently debate with Rav Yochanan. Also Yosef Kamei, and he sits in front of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan now is learning, and Kol Milsa Dahava Amar Rav Yochanan Amalei Tanya the Messiah Lach. And every time Rav Yochanan says something, so Rav Elazar ben Pedas says, oh, I know a brisa that supports your statement. So Rav Yochanan says, I don't want support. That's not what I want in learning. At kevar lakisha. You're like Reish Lakish. Bar lakisha ki hava amina milson. When I would say something, hava makshili esen va'arba kushyasa. Umifra kanale esen va'arba pruke. He would ask me 24 questions. I would say 24 answers. Umimela rav cheshmaita. And from that give and take, and from that kind of exchange, so we have now clarity on the subject. And the entire sugya becomes opened up to us. Va'at. And look at you, what do you do? Amar Tanya the Messiah Lach. All you do is you quote a brisa that supports me. I don't want support. I want challenge. I want to get sharpened. I want the positions to be sharpened. Atulo Yadan is a Shapir Kamina. So you don't know how to have good debate over these issues. Havaka Azav Karamane, the Kabach of Amar. So he would go, and he would tear his clothing, and he would cry, and he would say, Heichad bar lakisha, Heichad bar lakisha, where are you, Reish Lakish, where are you, Reish Lakish? V'avakatzavach ad deshav daite, minei. And he would scream and scream until he totally lost his mind. Bar Rabban and Racham and Alev and Achnaf Shei. And the Chachamim davened on his behalf, and he died. Certainly sounds like from the Gemara, contextually, that the tefillah that the Chachamim davened is that so he die. And just as a Mar Malkum, just as something to remind you, on the topic of this discussion, the Gemara Nedarim and Daf Mem. The Gemara Nedarim and Daf Mem taught us about the death of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. And well, the truth of the matter is, the Gemara about the death of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is in the end of Ksuvas. But in terms of the Mar Malkum, so you look at the Gemara Nedarim and Daf Mem, and there the Ran discusses, and the Ran says that he's of the firm opinion that if necessary, somebody is really suffering terribly, so the Ran says that you could die, that he die, you could daven that he dies. You know, obviously not help, not facilitate the death. That's called murder. That you're not right. But in other words, but to take the person out of his suffering. So the Ran and the Durham says, and the Ran and Durham, by the way, is the parish on the Gemara, meaning there's no Rashi over there. So the Ran is actually on the daf. It's on the daf itself. So you look at the Gemara over there, and you look at the Ran over there, and he says that you could do that. The Ran's of the opinion. Interesting, by the way, the Ran doesn't quote our Gemara over here. The Ran quotes the story of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, but still, it's that's a simple pshat of our Gemara as well. And in terms of the halacha, so that you consult, you speak to your rav. You don't do anything until you speak to your rav. Okay. We now turn the page one, Pei Dal Amud Beis. And now we could take out our bookmark. Meaning, so now we started off, well, didn't start, but we ended yesterday with the story of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, and now we're going to continue with the story of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. And basically what we're going to deal with is the anxiety of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. Filled with anxiety over the fact that he was appointed to be the district attorney of the Roman government, and he had to round up bad guys, and including those bad guys are Jews, and so he's dealing with the problem of Moser. So what does he do about that? So he hopes to every end possible that everyone he captures is in fact really guilty. and we have the launderer, as I already mentioned, who may or may not have been guilty. He heard a rumor that in fact he's guilty, and so he did a test to see whether or not he was going to be subject to terrible decomposition after he died. He took some fat out of his body and see if it decomposed, and in fact did not decompose, and so he was anxiety free. And if you remember, all right, he had a conversation with his stomach. Right, he told his stomach at the end of yesterday's daf. I'm reading the Gemara from what we saw yesterday. He says, "Hanakrado al bnei me'av, amar sisu bnei me'ai sisu." Right, you should rejoice. Meaning, don't worry, you're not going to be subject to this kind of decomposition.
The afi, guilty. Huh? They were an innocent person then.
Right.
So that's why he felt guilty.
The Afilu Hachi. And now we are starting on Pei Dalam and Beis, and this is a continuation. Meaning basically Pei Dalam and Alf was just basically a tangent. I mean, don't get me wrong, a super interesting tangent, but it was a tangent, and now we continue. The Afilu Hachi Lo Samach Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon Adaite. So Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon still was not guilt free, was not anxiety free, and he still suffered from terrible anxiety. So Kibo Allah Yisure. So he accepted upon himself suffering. Borisav Michael Shisin Namte. And in the evening, so what he would do is he would put 60 sheets underneath him in order to collect the blood, meaning he had wounds. Now, how did he actually get the wounds? So the Gemara doesn't tell us. Okay, and I'm not going to speculate. But in other words, but part of his yisurim is that he got the wounds. Again, I'm not speculating how he got them, but and basically when he went to bed at night, so his wounds would bleed, and so he had 60 sheets placed under him. So now to letzafra nagde mitusei shisin mishach ledama v'kiva, and in the morning, so there was so much blood and pus that came out of him. So there was a collection of 60 bowls of blood and pus that came out of him. Lamacha avrelei divasayu shisim ine lafta. Now the next morning, his wife would, what she would do is she would prepare for him 60 different types of basically dishes made out of figs. Va'achol lahu ubari. And he would eat them and he would become healthy. Now his wife would not let him go to the Beis Medrash. In other words, that's where he belonged, in the Beis Medrash. We'll talk more about that later. But his wife wouldn't let him go. Why? Because they know that the Chachamim would give him a hard time. And so she wanted to save him, presumably. So the Chachamim would give him a hard time. So she wanted to spare him from that kind of suffering. So she kept him home. But Orta, this is not the first time in this Masechta that we saw a wife keep her husband home. This is the second time. But Orta Amar Lahu, Achve V'raye Bowie. And now at night he said to his wounds, says Rashi, Achve V'raye Bowie. So my friends, my companions, bring it on. Meaning he was ready for the suffering that he was going to have over the night. But in the morning, Amalu Zilami Panay Bitul Torah. But the next morning, where he felt terrible and he had such a hard time getting up, he says, "Look. On one hand, I accept the suffering. In fact, he invites it. But on the other hand, however, it does lead to a tremendous amount of Bitul Torah, and that part he did not like." So I think it's easy to say that he was split on whether or not he wanted the suffering or not. And his wife says to him, "You're inviting this upon you. And you are taking away all the money of your father-in-law," meaning my father, meaning all the money that we brought in, so we're spending it on your medical treatment and your... And you're calling us, you're causing us a terrible financial loss. Imrada, she rebels against him. Azla base nasha, and she goes back to her father's house. She leaves him. Sligavas uanachshisin sapunai, and then what happens is that 60 sailors, ailele shisin avde, who are bringing in 60 servants, kinikitu shisin arniki, coming in with 60 bags of money, v'avdule shisin minilavta v'achalahu, and they're now the ones who are going to supply him with the necessary treatments in the morning, the fig treatments in the morning, so that he's going to recover. So basically, basically, when his wife stopped supporting him, so other people supported him, right? From our perspective, random strangers, but but Akash Baruch Hu supported him. Yumachad Amar Le Lavarta. One day he turned to his daughter and he said to his daughter, Zili, sorry, she says, thank you. I'm not reading the grammar correctly. Amar La. She says to her daughter, so Zilu Baki Bavucha, go check on your father, go see how he's doing. So my Ka'avid Aina, what is he doing today? Asya Amar La. So he says to her, now I'm reading the grammar better. So he says to her, meaning dad says to his daughter, Zili Amar Le Ime. Here's what you go tell mom. Shalanu gadol mishalahem. Mine is greater than yours. Meaning you thought that it was your finances and you were financially supporting me. No. Kadosh Baruch Hu was supporting me. And you see that even though you left me, I'm still being financially supported. Kari Anasha, and he read about himself the following pasuk. Haisa kaniyo socher mimercha tavilachma. It is ironic, I will tell you. It is ironic that the pasuk is Eishes Chayil. It's all about, you know, the valiant wife, the noble wife. You know, she's going to be providing. But here, though, he was saying the pasuk in Mishle, but he was saying it regarding the Torah. He wasn't saying it about his wife. Okay. So, yes, I do appreciate the irony. Achal v'shasi ubari. And he ate, and he drank, and he became healthy. Nafik lebe medrasha. Now remember, she didn't allow him to go to the base medrash, but she's no longer around. So he went to the base medrash. Aisa l'kamishisa mine dama. Now, he was an extraordinary postake. And women would come with their maris, and to show him the blood, and to see whether it's dam nida or it's not dam nida. And he would look. And what did he do? He was such a talmid chacham, and he was so confident with his knowledge of the hilchos nida. So he looked in the maris that were shown to him, and teharinu. And he said that everything's tahor. And it was, meaning all the maris that were shown to him were tahor. And by the way, the number, as I'm sure you've noticed, has been throughout this Agadah to 60. Now, I happen not to know the hidden meaning of why 60 comes up again and again. But clearly, in other words, the one thing to investigate, which I don't have a good explanation, is the number 60 throughout. So, Damatarino. So he was Matar. Havaka Miranane Rabbanan. Now, the Chachamim Miranane. Now, Miranane, Rinan just simply means singing, but as you see time and again throughout the Gemara, in this context it means they were not giving him praise, meaning they were skeptical. Skeptical that every one of the 60 Maras that were shown to him were in fact Tahor. V'amri Saka Daiz Chalei Behu Chad Safek. One of them had to have been a Safek. Every single time that a woman comes over to you with a Mara, you say Tahor? Can't be. Amalohim Kamosi Hu Yukulam Zecharim V'imlav Te'in Akevam. So he says, look, I'll tell you what. You'll see. Well, if the result of all these Maras where I sent the wife back to their husband to be with the husband, so if I'm right, what's going to happen is that 60 male children are going to result from each one of my psak halachas. So achas, and if one of them is a woman, so then you were right and I was wrong. I'm sure you could have guessed this. All of them turned into males. And they named, every one of them named their child Reb Lazar, or right, you could take out the word Rebbe, but they all named them Elazar based on him. In other words, they gave him credit. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Amar Rebbe Kama, Piriya Virivya, Bitla Rasha Zumi Yisrael. Now imagine that he be in the Beis Medrash more often, and women more often were able to show the Maris to him. So imagine that there'd be more Peru Revu, because what happened up until now is that the women didn't know, so therefore they were Machmer, simply not because they didn't know, and they erred on the side of caution, and they didn't go back to their husbands. And had Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon been in the base measures more often, so then it would have led to more peruvu. And as a result of Russia Zoo, so we prevent the peruvu. Now, who's Russia? Who's the Russia in this case? In this context, now keep in mind, Russia over here is in feminine. So it must be referring to something which is described in the feminine. So Rashi offers two pshatim over here. The first pshat of Rashi is, I'm reading Rashi. Rasha zu, malchus ha-rasha. Sheminu, tofes ganavim, v'lo ba'la beis ha-mezhe, shamin laharos lo, ha-nashim es daman. So Rashi over here is a reference to Malchus. Malchus is Lashon Nekeva. So it's talking about the Roman nation, who appointed him the district attorney, who put him in a position where he couldn't go to the Beis Medrash. So that's one pshat. A second pshat, says Rashi, Lishna Achrina al Ishto. So it's a reference to his wife. Now the Vilna Gaon says, let's not do that. Let's not say that. Let's take it out. Right. In other words, to describe her as a Rasha, so that is harsh. And but the Vilna Gaon doesn't tell us anything more than just simply take the second shot out of Rashi. So, but I imagine, I'm saying, so again, you take it for what it's worth. So I'm saying that the Vilna Gaon takes it out because to use a term Rasha to describe her, look, she left him, but in other words, under the circumstances, so it's understandable.
But we come to Hanukkah, and so in the what we say in Hanukkah, the Hanukkah sentence, it's Malchus for a shot up,
right?
Which is how Steinsel's punctuated
right.
For a shot up.
Right. In other words, it's Lashon Nekeva, exactly. So when he was going to die, so he says to his wife, I know that the Chachamim are so angry with me, and they're not going to give me a proper burial. So here's the solution to the problem. Now, we've come across a lot of uncomfortable agadata today. So I'm telling you, we all deserve just a reward just for getting through this. Some of it was uncomfortable. But this probably is going to be the most uncomfortable portion of today's daf. Okay, in terms of just trying to wrap our head around some of this agadata. So my solution, ognin be'aliyasa velotit chalaminai. So what you're going to do is you're going to hold me up in the attic, meaning after I die. So you take my body, you put it up in the attic, and don't be afraid. Okay, that's the solution. Now, I'm Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Shaila Ima de Rabbi Yonasan. So, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani said that, I was told by the mother of Rabbi Yonasan, the Shaila de Vesav de Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, who heard this directly from the wife of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. So I heard this now third hand. Right, if my math is good. So lo pachos mitam nesrei velo tafe mi esrim vitrin shnin. So it was no less than 18 years, no more than 22 years. So we have a range of how many years Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon was held up post-mortem in his attic, in the attic of his wife, for somewhere between 18 to 22 years. Okay. Ugnisa by Aliyasa. Sorry. That's
how... Nobody asked anything about it?
You can ask away. I'm limited to how much information I can give up here, and it's not because I'm sworn to any kind of secrecy. Okay, ki hava salikna me'anya lay b'mazye, and when she would go up there, she would investigate his hair. Ki hava mishtamta b'nisa minei hava asidama, and when a hair came out, so there was a little bit of blood that came out, meaning that there was still blood, I would say circulating, but it's not right. Let's not say circulating, but let's just say that there was still blood there. In other words, I think the point the Gemara is making right now is that there was no decomposition, and that's what he wanted to show everybody. That there would be no decomposition. And one day there was a maggot that came out of his ear. Chalash daite. And there was chalishas das because, in other words, that's what he wanted to show everybody, that there wouldn't be worms and maggots and there wouldn't be decay. So he's chazale b'chalma. So he appeared in a dream, and Amar li, and he said to me, Lo midi hu. So he says, no, don't worry about that. That little worm, no, nothing to worry about over here. Yumachad shame bizilusa deserve my rabbanan. He says, I deserve that. Because one day I heard somebody disparaging a Talmid Chacham, v'lo machai k'dabayile. And I didn't reprimand like I should have. In other words, you have to protect the honor of Talmid Chacham, and we all do. And when you hear somebody discourage a Talmid Chacham, so it is all of our jobs. We are all deputized to defend the honor of Talmid. And he says, and I didn't do that. And so my punishment was is that a worm comes out of my ear. Because it was my ear that heard the disparaging remarks, and I didn't defend properly. Okay. Now, we're going to be treated to some stories from the beyond. Meaning, that after Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon died and he was held up in the attic, and so we're just a couple of short stories. So there were two people who were ready to go to court, and Havakai Me'abava, and they didn't go into court yet, so they were outside the courtroom, and the courtroom is next to the house in which Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon was held up. And they were going over their arguments. Amar Milsei, Amar Milsei. So and so Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon overheard the arguments that were said over by the two litigants, Nafikala Mialisa. And now came a voice from the attic. And Va'amar Ishponi Atachai Vishponi Atazakai. And he prognosticated who was going to end up becoming guilty and who was going to end up being innocent, meaning even post-mortem, you know, you'll have such stories that are told regarding him. One day there was a fight between his wife and the neighbors. And Amrala, and she says to her, Tehei kabala shalonasan lekvura, your fate should end up being like your husband. Meaning, I know that you're holding your husband up in your attic. And you should suffer the same fate. Okay. Amre Rabbanan. So at that point, the Chachamim said, Kulei hai vadei lav orech ara. Meaning, at this point in time, it's beyond Derech Eretz. So, it's too much. Meaning, when the neighbors know what's going on, which I can only imagine. But when the neighbors know what's going on, so it's too much already, and so another version has it that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who remembers the father of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. So So he appears in a dream. Amalu preda achas yeshli benechem. I have a preda achas, right? One dove. V'yatem rotsim lahaviyam etzli, and you don't want to bring him to me, meaning bury him so that he'll come. So azur rabban laasuke bay lo shavke benei achbaria. So people in the city of Achbaria came and protested the burial of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Dechoshni dehavenayim Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon be'ilisa, because while he was being held up in the attic, lo salik chayera lemaseihu. The city was never overrun by wild animals. Meaning the zchus of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon held back the animals. Yumachal ma'ale yuma de kippur havu. One day was Erev Yom Kippur, have a treaty, and people were busy. Shadra abadun levnei birei v'askua la'arsei. So because people were so busy, so there was an opening. There was an opening to take the body of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon and v'amtuye l'marasa davu, and they brought him to the cave of his father. Ashkechela achna dehadra le l'marasa. And they saw a snake at the opening. Amrula achna achna paschei picha, and they say to the snake, "Open your mouth, let us in." V'kanes ben etzel avi, so that the son can be buried next to his father. Pasakle shalach Rabbi ledvar. I'm sorry, we'll stop here. Tomorrow we will continue with the words pasach lehu.